The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with the plan, Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. I guess we'll start with the top story of the week here, which is not COVID-19. You would think it would be. I mean, I guess that's the top story of our life right now. Although they opened up the beaches. And, you know, I haven't been to the beaches myself, but since I live through social media anyway, I've seen pictures of Jack's Beach. Isn't that funny? I live right here. You'd figure I could just walk outside and take a look at what it looks like. But no, I will instead get my information from social media as to what my own beach looks like and then tell you about it. But I hear it's really crowded. You know, the entire nation, is making fun of us for opening the beaches. They're saying that we're crazy and that there's going to be detrimental effects of the COVID-19 outbreak. So I figured that what we ought to do is take a look at the number of COVID cases that we've got right now, and then next week we'll look at it again and we'll compare it. We got a little COVID counter here going on for us, just embedded in stone, but instead of stone, it's permanency in the form of the radio airwaves and our memories. So let's hop down to the COVID tracker and see how many cases we have here in Jacksonville. Now, if you want to check this information yourself, it's pretty simple. You simply go to www.gisandata.maps.arcgis.com/apps/ All right, it's not that easy to get to. Ooh, you know what I do to get to this thing? This is John Hopkins. I hopped on down to Hopkins. This is John Hopkins' coronavirus tracker. You go to your favorite search engine. Mine is altavista.com. And you type in CNN coronavirus tracker, and then it'll take you to a CNN page. Just ignore that and just click on the words "this map." It's like in the very first paragraph, and then it'll take you this. That's how I get to it every single time. You know, a younger man might bookmark this stuff and be able to get to it right away, or maybe even make it where it's default page to open up to in the browser, but not me. I go through the same procedure every time, and it just makes it easier for myself. But anyway, if you want to duplicate my results, that's how you do it. So I went on down there, and then I'm clicking here on Duval, Florida, U.S. So you click on U.S., then you zoom in on Florida, and then you click on where Jacksonville's at. We get Duval, Florida, U.S. So today is April 18th, 2020, and we're at 824 confirmed cases. So now we'll see where we're at next week. And no matter what it is, whether it's 5 cases or 1,000 cases more than what we've got now, we're going to go ahead and blame it on the beach opening, and that way we can be like a real news network. And sure, it might be more accurate to, for instance, look at trends here in Jacksonville and compare it to trends around other parts of the country and you know, just get a very precise measurement of how far this virus has spread compared to similar parts of the country and the state. But, you know, why do that? I'll just go ahead and blame it on the beach opening and get mad at Ron DeSantis and Lenny Curry and just do what the news does. You know, from what I've been seeing in the general arena of broadcast news is that if you want the economy to be reopened, it means that you care more about money than people's lives. And, you know, you can get a little complicated. If you want to make things complicated, you could say things, well, you know, if people don't go back to work, there's going to be food shortages, and then more lives will be in danger, and you know, the societal breakdown would be more dangerous than, you know, any virus, which is affecting a relatively small percent of the population. But that would be too much nuance, I think. It's a lot easier to just say, oh, you don't care about human beings. You only care about money. Because that's what I've been seeing a lot of from, and, you know, I hate to feed into the whole liberal conservative mindset, but that's what I've seen on a lot of liberal sites. And it's funny because on these same liberal sites, you can actually scroll down and see in the comments how they can't wait for old people to die off, because then they'll be more liberals, because they don't realize that, you know, as somebody experiences life, they become conservative. The joke is that when you're young, you're liberal, and as you're old, you're conservative. I don't know if that's a joke, but you start as a Democrat and then you become a Republican. But that's kind of like the saying, the common sense, the way that people think of things, I guess. So it's funny, on one hand, you see a lot of people of the leftist ideology want old people to die off, but then in a situation like this, they say that it's the conservatives that want older people to die off. But I don't think that's true. Oh, speaking of older people, why don't we get into the presidential election race here? And earlier this week, Bernie Sanders, he completely sold out. Last week, he dropped out, and he was getting lambasted. Am I saying that right? Lambasted. Lambasted. What does that word mean, anyway? What does it mean? I mean, I know it's how it's used. I just used it, but here we go. It's a transitive verb. lambasted. It is lambasted. To give a thrashing to, beat, to scold sharply, berate, to beat severely, thrash. In sailor's use, to beat with a rope's end. I wish every word had the sailor's use at the end of it so that we could really get a handle on their speak. Lambasted Bernie Sanders for not endorsing Joe Biden strongly enough. Well, this time, maybe I should play a clip. You know, I don't have time. I've been recording the show very late lately, and it's no good. You know, I got to get on this earlier. I do research the last second, and it's really not helping out anybody. And I say it's research, but for some reason, my research always brings me back to Amazon, where I'll start buying things furiously. And then, oops, where does the time go? You know, what I've been buying today is paper towel rolls. So I can make some money cutting them in half and selling them as toilet paper. We all got to make a living, you know? And I guess Bernie Sanders does too, because like I said, he sold out hard. So he endorsed Joe Biden so strongly that Joe Biden was embarrassed. He like put his head down and raised his hand. He's like, no, 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 no. But Bernie Sanders wouldn't shut up. He kept on, what's a nice way to put it? He kept genuflecting to Joe Biden. That's how I'll say it. Anyway, if you thought the Sanders people were disappointed last week, they are, well, they're super disappointed. So now that they had turned against him, but now they're turning against him in fury. They're so mad at Bernie Sanders, and it's hard to blame them. No, Bernie Sanders has done this wholeheartedly. Maybe you can blame them, can't you? Because he did this last year, not last year, last election. Could you imagine if we had this every year? Oh, my God. But last election, he did this with Hillary Clinton. I mean, he tried to convince everybody to vote for her, and they were booing him at the national convention, his own supporters. They hate Hillary so much. They hate her more than they love Bernie. So that really tells you something. So if they're going to boo Bernie Sanders at the convention, then you know that they're mad this time around. To Joe Biden, is he even worse than Hillary Clinton? Am I wrong about that? I mean, not from my perspective. Hillary Clinton is the worst. But Joe Biden, from the perspective of the progressive left, might be conceivably worse than Hillary Clinton is. But I'm not sure. It's close, though. It's pretty close. So from my understanding, Bernie Sanders has made this tremendous, you know, support now for Joe Biden without getting anything in return. I mean, maybe he did, but if he has, he hasn't talked about it. He didn't say, I pushed Joe and this happened. So it looks like he endorsed Joe Biden without getting any concessions back for it. Now, let's take a look at how this affects the election. So there's a couple of things going on here. First off, Bernie Sanders people are probably just as mad as they were last time. Because last time around, they were being gaslit into making it seem like everything was fair, but Bernie Sanders just got screwed. But since the last election, it came out unquestionably that the DNC had their thumb on the scale for Hillary Clinton. It's not only is it not a question, like books and papers and proof and people have come out now showing this to be true. It's obvious. And it's funny because anytime you try to say this to an establishment Hillary supporter, they would say, oh, that's the past. You got to move on. You got to move forward. What a great excuse. So this time around, they're probably even angrier. They seem angrier to me than they did last time. But now a couple of things about this. First is that even though they're just as mad or even madder than they were last time around, there is more time between now and the actual election to let them cool off. See, so the first time around, Bernie stayed in pretty long. Did he stay until June, was it? Or I can't remember, but he stayed in pretty long. I'd look it up on Alta Vista, but I don't have time right now. But this time around, he's dropping out significantly earlier. Because, I mean, the election's in, what, 6 months? So at least 2 months earlier that he's dropped out. So that gives his base some time to collect themselves and think a bit more rationally about what they want to do. So last time they figured, well, I'm so mad at the DNC, I want to punish them for behaving badly. Now the question is, are they going to do that again this time around? Or are they going to say, well, last time I did that, Trump got elected. And if I do that this time again, Trump's going to get in again, and I don't want that. So the question is, would they rather have a Democrat in there, assuming that Biden makes it to the thing, are they going to want to have a Democrat in there over Trump, and they don't care who it is? Are they going to go for the blue no matter who strategy? I don't think they are. And one of the reasons why is because even though it's proven that Trump is going to get in, even if they protest vote, now that we've gone through 4 years of Trump, I think they're seeing that it's not the end of the world. I know with the coronavirus it seems like it, but I'm talking about Trump and his policies, that it's not the end of the world. We've had 4 years of Trump now, and it's fine. So they're going to probably go ahead and sit this one out again. So that's my guess. Now, the next thing about this is, and I don't think anyone's pointed this out yet, but Joe Biden is making a much more sincere effort of outreach to Bernie Sanders supporters than Hillary Clinton did. Hillary Clinton was like, yes, you must vote for me. Joe Biden, on the other hand, is coming across as humble. Now, I think that the Bernie Sanders supporters are going to be too angry to even notice this. I don't even think they're going to look at this, because they'll see Joe Biden in a video and they'll probably immediately just turn it off. But Joe Biden himself is coming across as a lot more sincere than Hillary Clinton did in trying to get the support of Bernie Sanders voters. Because Hillary Clinton and her entire campaign's attitude was that of, who else are you going to vote for? You've got to vote for me. And so she expected to get your vote. But Joe Biden, who people really underestimate, is not making that same mistake. Now, the establishment is making that same mistake. So your typical Democrat establishment commentators and, I guess you could say, cronies. I don't know. I mean, cronies makes them sound bad immediately. I don't want to do that. But they are all in the camp of a vote that if you're not voting for Joe Biden, then you're voting for Donald Trump. And they've come out and they've said this. And they said, if you don't vote for, in fact, one of Bernie Sanders' supporters, a group that's supporting him, is like the Bernie Sanders college group or something. I can't remember the name of it, but he's got a bunch of them in a bunch of colleges that these groups that support Bernie Sanders. And for instance, one group came out and they said, we're not endorsing Joe Biden. And then this, you know, super left-wing commentator comes out. Not super, but, you know, from a conservative's point of view, he's super left-wing. But an establishment left-wing commentator comes out and says that this college place just endorsed Donald Trump, which they clearly did not. They said, we don't endorse Joe Biden. And then this commentator says they've endorsed Donald Trump. So they're voter shaming people, just like they did in the 2016 election. And man, that is the wrong way to go. You're just going to piss people off and they are not going to vote for you just out of spite. But see, Joe Biden himself knows better. So is he going to be able to convince his campaign staff and the media and the other people who, and these other commentators, these peripheral commentators, is he going to be able to get them all on board with the idea of, we need to build a bridge to the Bernie Sanders supporters? And that's going to be key. You know, I know that it seems that Trump is a shoo-in to a lot of people. And if you look at the amount that he won in 2016, it really looks, you know, kind of overwhelming. Like Trump is definitely going to win. If he just carries these same states, of course he's going to win. But, you know, he won a lot of these states by pretty slim margins. And if you just look at the overall electoral map, you can't see that. But if you remember being there that night and watching these races, it was actually pretty close. So this is not in the bag. But let me give you another twist, which is this. Trump supporters, if you recall, during this last round when they were, you know, people did run against Trump on the Republican side. You don't hear about it. But but they did. And even though Trump was basically a shoo-in, people still came out to vote for him. And as a matter of fact, Trump got more votes than any, I think you could take any two people and combine them together in the last, you know, bunch of elections that we've had. and more people came out to support Trump, even though he didn't need the support. So that's very interesting to me. And it shows that his supporters aren't just diehard, you know, Trump supporters verbally, but they'll actually go out and take physical action to, I would say, protect him, but it's not even protect him, they just to show support for him. I think they're going to do that this time around. And not only are they going to show support for him, but I think they're going to add to that support also. You know what's funny is that Trump support, when he was doing these, well, he's still doing these, you know, coronavirus powwows. What would you call them? These press conferences, these briefings. He's still doing them, and he was getting higher approval ratings every time he'd go out there. And then the press stopped carrying them. A lot of the news outlets stopped broadcasting them, saying that he's spreading lies and all this garbage. And then they say he's spreading lies, but then they just take the same briefing, reinterpret it for you, where you just watch it yourself, right? Make your own decision. But, you know, that's what they do. And now Trump's approval ratings have been going down. Now, going down is relative. They're still high. At least for Trump, they're still high. But are they going to get enough stuff to happen against Trump? And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the real reason that so many Democrats, liberals don't want people to go back to work, because they know that this is crashing the economy and they're going to be able to blame Trump for it. Remember, I've played audio of Bill Maher saying that he wanted a recession because it would get rid of Trump. And then on a later program, he doubled down, saying that people were mad at him for saying that. But then he asked for it again. And his guest, who I think was on his side, actually said, "You don't want to, don't wish that. It's a bad thing to wish that." And he's like, "No, I'm serious." And he really oh, the other guy said people will be hurt or put out of work or something like that. And Bill Maher says, "Oh, it's worth it." So they're so mad at him, you know, they would wish anything bad to happen just so that he doesn't get back in office. And you have people like Dr. Phil, who is a huge liberal. Dr. Phil's a huge lib. And he's saying that psychologically it's bad for people to stay indoors. And that's pretty much all he said. He didn't say that he wants people back to work right now and everyone should go out. He didn't do any of that. And yet he is now being called all these terrible names. You know, these leftists who love Oprah and love Dr. Phil are now coming out against, oh man, I saw a video of these guys, and they're like making fun of the way that he looks and the way that his, you know, things that liberals aren't supposed to do, right? You can't make fun of somebody for features that can't be changed. And they are just blasting this dude for being unattractive and being bald and having a misshapen head. And I'm like, really, guys, come on. So childish. Chris Cuomo got busted for pretending to be under quarantine, and then some guy sees him outdoors. Chris Cuomo confirmed that he knows that dude from his radio show, and he went on a rant against CNN, and it's just hilarious what's happening right now. So now, I said that we were going to kick this coronavirus's butt, and I feel like we have been so far. Now, the governor's order is going to expire, the one that says that non-essential businesses must stay closed. It expires soon, in the beginning of next month. So we'll see if they extend that order or not. And if they don't, and people go back to work, well, of course, they're going to make fun of Florida. But a return to a semblance